Praise the Lord. Everybody doing good tonight?
Yeah.
Blessed?
Yeah.
Healed?
Yeah.
Victorious?
Yeah.
Overcoming, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't lose for winning.
Yeah. That's right.
You just flip it around. Like you've heard people say, I can't win for losing. We can't lose for winning. We could try to fail and succeed. We can mess up and do better than most people. Prosper on accident more than other people do on purpose, right? We're believers. That's what should happen, right? Praise the Lord. Well, let's open up our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 22. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for this opportunity to be here in your presence. We open ourselves up to hear and to receive revelation knowledge of your word. And we thank you for it tonight, Father. We know that revelation knowledge is the knowledge that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And we thank you that for words tonight that are in season, that are on time, that are perfect and fitting and applicable for the situations and circumstances that we're overcoming in our lives. And we just receive it now, and we thank you for it tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 35, it says there, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, tempted him, asking him a question, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." So once again, we got to walk in love if the principles of God's word are going to work in our lives. Now let's go over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to continue talking tonight. And we're getting close to finishing this up here, but we've been doing a series on Wednesday nights called Basic Faith Principles, Faith That Overcomes, Faith That Receives. And one thing that we've said is that we gotta operate in the order of faith. And we said that you can believe God exists and not receive. You can believe God can and not receive. You can believe God will and not receive. You can believe that he has done something for you and is offering it to you and still not receive. Because Jesus told us here in Mark chapter 11 that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe this. Believe that you receive them and then you will have them. And I'm going to keep running back to salvation because most of us have experienced that, have seen that work. And you got to understand, a person can believe God exists. They can believe that he can save them, that he would save them, that he's offering salvation to them, but you know they still haven't received salvation, have they? Did you see that? Until they do what? Until they believe in their heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, right? And they confess with their mouth that he's Lord. They believe they received it, and that's when they received it. So we want to take our faith to that place now where we have believed we've received. So we said now what we've been talking about over the past couple weeks is where faith lives. Because, you know, once you've prayed your prayer, and let's say you've believed you've received it, well, what we said is tomorrow's coming. And if it doesn't show up tomorrow, well, then what are you going to do tomorrow? And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, in my experience, it didn't show up tomorrow, right? But so we need to know what I do between my prayer and the manifestation of it. Because it's what that's where you live most of your life. Do you understand that? I mean, you live most of your life at that place where you're living by faith. Now, true enough, the more that the better revelation we have, I'll just share this with you, because as Pastor Deb was preaching Sunday, God said this to me. He said that, let me read it. I got it in my notes, I'll say it right. He said this to me. He said, greater revelation should lead to higher and better application. So now the word that I underlined is should. So if God comes and gives you a greater revelation on how to walk in love, then what should happen is you should be better applying love in your life. Does that make sense to you? See, that's why the revelation doesn't come just so me and you can think, man, that's something. That's good. You know, I mean, that's fine. I mean, to say that, it is good. But the revelation didn't come to impress you, right? It came to change you. Now, it impresses me all the time when the Lord says things. So that's okay, but it shouldn't stop at you just being impressed, right? So he said it should. So greater, greater revelation. And when I say greater, we could say more. more or greater revelation should lead to better application. And higher and better application will lead to greater manifestation. So now, if as God takes us higher in the and gives us more of a revelation of faith, what should be happening is you shouldn't just leave here impressed, right, with what the Lord has said to you. You should leave here planning on doing what you've heard, right? Because when more revelation comes, you should be better at it. I mean, we've been on this for about, this is about the ninth week, so you should be getting better already. And I just want to admonish you that if you're only hearing and not doing what you're hearing, no. No, you got to be a doer. Now, better revelation, better application, and when you're applying it better, what's going to happen? Greater manifestation. Now, I said all that to say this. True enough, when we start getting greater revelation on faith and start getting better at applying it, we're gonna have more experiences. There it is, more manifestation, right? But at the same time, if it doesn't show up, what do I do after I believed I received it? Okay, where does faith live between now and there it is? And we said the first thing that faith does is faith lives in the Word, right? Number one, faith lives in the Word. Why does faith live in the Word? Well, because, you know, just because you say you believe we received it, we don't even know if that's true yet, right? Because pressure comes to see what you really believe. So that faith has to be developed, and it has to get to what? Which place does faith have to get to? To the place it's fully persuaded, right? When evil reports come and circumstances come to prove to you that you don't believe it, then and if you've been spending time in the Word, then you'll just answer those evil reports with faith, right? And so we said that the trial of your faith is going to come, and when it does, if you're not fed on the Word, if your faith isn't strong and your spirit isn't strong, then every time the trial comes, you're going to break down under the pressure, and you're going to and in a sense, you're failing the test. Now, who's not testing you? God, right? He's not testing you, but your faith is going to be tried. And when it's tried, if you'll prove that it's really faith and pass the test, the next thing that comes is promotion or manifestation. And see, what God showed us is that one reason why we're not seeing more manifestations is because a lot of times, every time pressure comes, I mean, we got makeup running off our face because we've been crying for 4 hours, you know, and we're in the bathroom, you know, just bawling. And well, see, pressure came, right? Men don't have makeup off their face, you understand. But pressure came, right? And when pressure came, that was your opportunity to show up in faith and say, no, I believe this. I'm not coming off this. But if you're not living in the Word daily, you will not pass the test. Make sense to you? And see, this is one thing, Lord, I saw this in my notes as I was going back through these today. People lose their faith, their fight of faith, because of a lack of commitment to the Word of God in that area. And see, if you'll be committed to spend time daily in the Word in that area, what's going to happen is your faith is going to get strong. And an evil report's going to come, and a test is going to come to find out if it's really faith, and then you're just going to pass the test. And the more tests you pass, the more you prove your faith. And when faith is proven, the next thing that happens is victory shows up. So we said the trial of your faith is precious. So when you get bills in the mail and evil reports and negative circumstances, we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to remind us of this, that this is a precious moment in time right now. Because we're going to find out a lot about me and my faith right now. So you see, it's precious. And our carnal mind doesn't have a hard time understanding how it's precious, because all we can think about is pressure, right? But see, if you get your spirit involved, your spirit will start saying, precious. This is so precious right now. I mean, what's it matter when I know the end, right? See, this is the end. Let's look. Are you in Mark 11? We're going to jump around here just a little bit. Look at verse 24. It says there, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So see, the end is I'm going to have it. So what difference does pressure make to me? Because I already know the end. Right? What if I believe I receive? What's going to happen? You will have, right? See, my destination is you will have no matter how much pressure shows up. So we got to get that. But if you're not living in the Word, chances are every time pressure shows up, you're breaking down instead of, like we said, breaking through, passing the test. So we said, number one, faith lives in the Word. Number two, we said that faith thanks God like it's already done, right? Because if you believed you received it, when somebody has done something for you, the next thing that happens is thanks are in order. So if you believe that you are the healed, or you are the prosperous, or the financially prosperous, or whatever it may be, if you believe that God has done it for you, the next thing you should do is say thanks, right? And we say we live a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving, and we said we load our big gun of faith, and when trials and tests and pressure shows up, we just load our gun of faith with praise and thanksgiving, and we shoot it at that thing on purpose, right? Well, what are we thanking Him for? Well, because I believed I received it. Well, it doesn't look like you've received it. I know it doesn't look like, but I believe I have. And if I believe I have, I don't have to ask God to do it, ask God for it. I just thank Him that it's done, right? Number two. Then we said number three is, and we talked about this last week, and we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight and then get into the fourth one. But we said faith talks like it's done. Faith talks like it's done. The Amplified Bible in Romans 4:17 said God speaks of non-existent things as though they already exist. So when he said, when Abraham wasn't the father of one nation, God called him the father of many nations, right? He didn't say, Abraham, you're gonna be the father of many nations. He said, I have made you the father of many nations. And we said, this is a very important point here. We gotta get out of going to be. I'm gonna be this, this is gonna be that. No, that's not believing you've received it. If you believe you receive it, then you talk like this. I have it. It's finished. It's mine. I am this. See, now you've believed you've received something. See the difference there? So faith talks like it's done. And we talked about that, so we won't go into more too much more on that part of it. Are you in Mark 11:23? So now another thing we said is this, that faith never talks the problem and always talks the answer. And I've been tickled a couple times this week because I was in two different places where I heard people on Wednesday night that came to church when somebody said something to them, and we talked about let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I heard all kinds of people saying, so? Now, are you seeing? So what are we saying? Faith does not talk about the problem. It talks the answer. Jesus said this, and let's look at this scripture, Mark 11, and look at verse 23 there. It says, for verily I say unto you, well, look at verse 22, because verse 22 starts this off. This is where he starts his teaching. He says, have faith in God. Now that, if you look that up and translate that out, that's literally says, have the God kind of faith. That's what it says. So Jesus is telling you, use faith like God used it. Well, how did he use it? He spoke, right? That's how he released faith. He believed it and then spoke it, and it came to pass. So now Jesus is going to tell you how to have the God kind of faith. He said, verily, I say unto you. Now, the reason he says verily is because he knows this is going to be hard for your carnal mind to understand and comprehend. And when Jesus is telling, this is the literal, our vocabulary with verily would be this. Look now, I'm not lying to you. This is the truth. Before he even says it. So I'm telling you the truth. The Amplified Bible says, most solemnly I swear, I'm telling you, or truly I tell you. Now, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Notice Jesus didn't say, for whosoever says, mountain, you're so big, and I don't know what I'm going to do about you. No, he said, for verily I say unto you, tell the mountain what to do, and believe that it's going to come to pass. See the difference? And we just got to watch ourselves talking the problem all the time. Talking the problem. We said to you last week, 15 minutes, talk about how bad it is, and at the end say, praise the Lord. Well, why don't you talk about the word for 15 minutes? Why don't you say it doesn't look real good right now, but I'm not moved by that anyway, because this is the word says this, the word says that, the word says this, right? That's the change your ratio. And this is why, because what happens is, as what we said, made this statement last week as well. I'm just reviewing some of this. Words are supernatural building blocks that either reinforce what is or create what ought to be. Did you hear that? That words are supernatural building blocks that either reinforce what is or create what ought to be. And we looked at Joshua and Caleb when they saw the giants and the walls. A lot of people came back talking about the giants and the walls. And their words reinforced their faith that those walls and giants were too much for them, right? But Joshua and Caleb's words, they said, we're well able to possess this and overcome it. And there, 40 years later, their words created what should have been. Do you see the difference? And when you start talking about the problem, what happens is you start magnifying the problem. And the more you talk about the problem, the more faith you have in the problem. And the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what are you doing every time you talk about it? You are reestablishing it and building up bigger in your life. Does that make sense to you? But the more you talk about the word and what God says, what happens? The bigger your faith gets in that, and then the smaller your problem looks. Does this make sense to you? Now, let's go to Romans chapter 10 here. Romans chapter 10. So we just want to be cautious of what we're talking. So you prayed yesterday, but now it's been 3 weeks, and it's gotten worse. And just to be honest with you, that's usually how it happens. I don't say that to put fear in you by any means, but it usually gets worse before it gets better. But what I'm saying is you want to just be cautious of magnifying and exalting the problem. Well, I just don't know what we're going to do. It just doesn't look like we got enough money to do it. All these bills are coming in. This happened, that happened. We got laid off here. This happened. I just don't know what we're going to do. Well, see, what are you doing? You're magnifying and exalting the problem. What you should be saying is, man, it doesn't look good right now, but what's that matter? So, I'm redeemed. God's word says this. It says that. See, talk the word, and the word will get bigger. Talk the problem, and the problem will get bigger. Okay? Now, are you in Romans chapter 10? Now, verse 8 says this. Romans chapter 10. Are you with me so far? So we're talking the answer. And I know what your flesh wants to do. I mean, somebody in church comes and asks you how you're doing, and your flesh is saying, oh, just tell them how bad it is so they'll feel sorry for you and put their arm around you. Well, hey, just stay in faith, okay? Just stay in faith. They might put their arm around you and give you a hug when you just stay in faith. They might be led of the Spirit. But don't be looking for people to feel sorry for you. You got a comforter. He's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He's been there. And I got a new revelation for you. You are not the only one that's been there. This is not some original thing. Well, nobody's been where I'm at. No. Probably a lot of people have been there. And a lot of people that were in your place stood on the word and are long out. Right? See, you got to watch the devil, because he's going to make you feel like you're walking on ground that hasn't been stepped on before. And no, somebody's been there, right? And Jesus knows. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities, right? And like I said, just stay in faith. You'd be surprised. The Lord will send somebody over to comfort you and to minister to you. But don't try to seek it out yourself by getting somebody to feel sorry for you. Just say, Holy Spirit, you're my comforter. If nobody shows me comfort, you're more than enough for me. Are you understanding that? You just got to watch your little, crazy little flesh. Now, Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says this. But what says it? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, what did he say there? How do you get saved? You got to believe something, and then you got to speak something, right? Now, I want to say this, because a lot of times what happens is people get a revelation of something, and then they get that revelation and just run with it until they run all the way over here into a ditch. And you know, in denominations, in just camps, circles, they get a revelation, and then they lose. And the revelation started off, it was from God. But then they lose balance. Now look, this believing and speaking is not all you have to do. Right. Now before we get too excited just about that, but it is one thing you must do. Did you hear me? Yeah. It's not all you have to do, but it is one thing that you must do. You're going to have to believe in your heart and get your faith in line with what the word says, and then speak it out your mouth, or you're not going to win, period. Case closed. But it's not all you have to do. Let me give you a quick example of this. Do you remember when God told Isaac, don't go down to Egypt, stay here in Gerar, and that was a famished place? Remember that? And Isaac sowed in famine, and he received 100-fold. Well, what if Isaac would have went down to Egypt and got down to Egypt and started making faith confessions? Oh, I believe I receive. I got 100-fold. I'm blessed. Well, see, he's in disobedience. So when you're disobeying, it doesn't matter what you're saying out your mouth, because you got to be in the proper place. Did you hear me? So I don't want to paint the picture that's all you got to do, but I do want to paint the picture as it's one thing you have to do. Right? Do you see the difference? See, you got to obey God too. You got to walk in love, or your faith's not going to work. I mean, you can make faith confessions until you spit yourself dry, but I mean, nothing's going to happen if you're not being obedient and walking in love. So see, we got to just watch making just singular one statement by itself. No. Well, just believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth and I'll be okay. No, it won't. Not if you're not walking in love and being obedient. See, we just got to stay balanced here. But if you want to be victorious, you're going to have to believe the word and you're going to have to speak it. Right? Okay, so now, I said that to say this. Jesus said, this scripture said, when you got saved, how'd you do? You believed it with your heart. You said it with your mouth and it came to pass. Well, he said the same thing in Mark 11:23. He said, believe something in your heart, speak with your mouth, and you'll have whatsoever you say. Do you see that? So we don't want to throw that out, right? Because that's a good thing. It's a good thing to get faith in your heart and start believing that you're out of debt, and then you start declaring with your mouth, I'm out of debt. I'm free from debt. My debts have been canceled. I owe no man nothing but to love him, and have that come to pass. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, I'm saying all this to say this. If you say, we talked about this last week, what you see. If you see sickness on your body and you believe you're sick, and then you start calling people and say, well, I'm sick, what just happened? You believed it. You spoke it. You have it. Do you see that? What if you say, if you believe what you see, and say what you see, you're going to be stuck with what you see. Did you hear me? So if you don't like what you see, then don't, yeah. Let me help you, number one. Don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm so ugly and fat, my hair's messed up, I can't. No, 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 no. That might be what you see. I don't know. That's your opinion. Don't get mad at me. Well, all I'm saying is, don't base what you believe off what you see. Base what you believe off what the Word says, and then speak what the Word says, and what you see will change up to what the Word says. Does that make sense to you? And see, that's what happens a lot. We see something, and then we believe something based on what we see, and then we start talking about it, and then we can't figure out why it's still here. Right? I mean, maybe you're battling an addiction of some sort tonight. Let me help you with this. Stop saying that you have a problem. See, you see yourself smoking the cigarettes, eating the food, doing whatever it is, you know, whatever it may be, and then you see that, and then you believe you're in bondage to it, and then you keep saying, I just got a problem. I don't know why I can't get rid of it. I don't know. Well, say this. I'm delivered. I'm free, right? This guy was smoking cigarettes once, and he could not stop smoking these cigarettes. He was trying. He went up to this pastor, and he said, Brother Keith, he said, I've had people pray for me. I've thrown my cigarettes away and drove back down the street and picked them up. I've had people lay hands on me and speak in tongues over me and anoint me. And he said, I've done everything. I just can't quit smoking. I just can't stop smoking. I've tried everything. I just can't stop. And now, what's his problem? Yeah, he wants to. And he said, that was his catchphrase. I just can't quit. I just can't stop. And he said, well, okay. Well, will you do this one thing for me? He said, you're not going to pray for me. He said, no, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to pray for it, but will you do this for me? Will you change your vocabulary? And every time that you smoke a cigarette, take a cigarette out, I want you to just say this. Say, I'm free from smoking. I'm free from these cigarettes. And he said, even when I'm taking it out of the pack, getting ready to light it up, he said, yes, I want you to say that. And I don't ever want you to ever say this again. I can't quit smoking. Okay? So he goes and this guy, I mean, you can imagine what that looks like. I'm free from smoking. Every time you take a puff, I'm free from this. I'm free from this. I'm free from this. And he said, well, about 2 weeks in, he was getting ready to put one out and light it up. He said, I'm free from smoke. I'm free from this. And he threw it down and didn't have the addiction or the bondage. And he came back to a meeting a couple weeks ago and he said, Brother Keith, I'm free from smoking. And he said, and he wasn't sure. He said, by faith, you're free. No, he said, no, I'm free now. I'm free. This is finished. Now, you see what happened? He changed his vocabulary. He believed something in his heart, said it with his mouth. Is that the only thing we have to do? No, but it's one thing you must do. Okay? And that's where it's got out of balance. Oh, just believe it and say it. Just believe it and say it. No, not just believe it and say it. No, believe it and say it. Be obedient. Walk in love. Find out what the word says. See, now we got balance. Now we can use it the right way. Okay? So now, don't talk the problem. If you don't think your words mean anything, I'll tell you what. Let's just take our time. Go to Luke chapter 1. Go to Luke chapter 1. So believing with your heart, saying with your mouth, that's still for now. That's still for today. But I left one thing out there. Keep going to Luke chapter 8. This word where Jesus said, say to the mountain, you're going to Luke chapter 1. Jesus said, but he shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. That word where he says believe, that means the translation of that is to be persuaded of. Hear the difference? See, a lot of people have said something thinking they've believed, but weren't persuaded. And he said, when you say it, be persuaded. That's fully persuaded, single-minded faith that what you're saying will come to pass. Now, I was reading this today, and God said this to me. That's why you always need to speak the end result. Because you don't want this to come to pass. I'm going to be healed. You already got that. You're a sick person going to be healed. You don't need that to come to pass. Did you hear me? What do you need to come to pass? I'm healed. So say that. That's why he didn't say, mountain, tomorrow, you're going to be out of here. No, he said, now. David didn't go down to Goliath and say, you're pretty big. Tomorrow, the Lord's going to give you into my hand. No, he said, today. And see, so say, just speak the end result. Whatever it is that you're desiring, call it, talk it like it's done. Okay? All right, does that make sense to you? Okay, praise the Lord. Now, Luke chapter 1, I'm just going to go through this because we got another place we need to go tonight. But in Luke chapter 1, the angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah. And let's just read just some of this quickly here. Luke chapter 1. And he says this to him. Now, that Elizabeth was barren, right? She was old, kind of like Sarah, couldn't have kids. And it said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, unto Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, verse 11. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife shall bear a son, and his name shall be called John. And go down to verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, my wife is well stricken in years. The Amplified Bible translates that as this, by what shall I know and be sure of this, for I'm an old man, well advanced in years? And the angel of the Lord answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak to you to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, what did John the Baptist, what was his ministry in the earth? It was to prepare the way, right? So now, this is important. We need John here so he can prepare the way for Jesus here. But now his dad, when the angel says, you're going to have a baby, he said, how do I know that's true? My wife's old. I'm old. And the angel, you know, I'm going to paraphrase this now. Gabriel says, I don't think you know who you're talking to. I was just standing in the presence of the Lord a short time ago, and here I am in your presence. But I can see where your faith is. So what did he do? He closed his mouth, didn't he? Yep. Why did he close his mouth? Because his words could have kept the plan of God from coming to pass. Oh, my words don't mean anything. Huh? Kind of looks like it does. If he shut his mouth, now he came to Mary, and we won't go through all this, but Mary asked a little bit different of a question, because he said, you're going to have a baby. And Mary had a good question. She said, well, I don't have a man. So I'm not sure how you're going to do it. But she wasn't doubting that it would be done. Right. See the difference? Yeah. And then she responded like this, be it unto me according to your word. Right. Why didn't she have to have her mouth closed? Because she was in faith. Yep. See, your words can keep God's plan from coming to pass in your life. Remember what we said last week, the children of Israel, God said to them, as truly as you speak, that's what I'll do. Do you see? So this makes a big difference, what you're saying. Okay? And that's why, what does faith do the whole time? Faith's walking around thanking the Lord, calling it done, calling it finished. Faith isn't saying things like, it's hard, I don't know what we're going to do. No, faith says, I know exactly what we're going to do. I have the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ, the money's here, I have it now, my body's healed, right? I have peace, I have joy, the victory's mine. See that? This is how faith talks. We're not trying to be hyper-spiritual. This is just living by faith. Hyper-spiritual is saying it because I want you to hear me say it. That's hyper-spiritual. But when it just comes out of your spirit, that's you. That's reality. See the difference? Now, are you with me so far? Now, let's go just a little bit farther with this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. I tell you what, Isaac, you want to put these up on the screen? And if you're here, you can write these down, take notes. You can go back and look at them in your own time. But Proverbs 18, verse 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, that word power, I'm just going to translate it out, these words, power and life. That scripture could be translated like this. Your state of living is in the control of your tongue. Did you hear that? Your state of living is in control, in the control of your tongue. So your life is in your mouth. Did you hear me? Whatever your life isn't that you would like it to be, it starts by you saying something different. Now again, you got to be obedient. You got to walk in love. I mean, don't be down in Egypt when God told you to be in Gerar thinking I'll just make faith confessions.
That's right.
No, be in Gerar and make your faith confessions there.
Right.
Don't be in Gerar not making your faith confessions.
That's right. That's
did you hear me?
Uh-huh.
No, be in the right place living by faith. Okay? Now, let's keep going here. Your life's in your mouth. So then, how about this one? Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Where's your healing at? Did you just hear that? It says that health to the bones, pleasant words. That word, that could be translated like this. Pleasant words are the remedy, our cure, for any part of your flesh that's not healed. Did you see that? It's the remedy. Well, they don't have a cure for this. I do. You do. Right? We do. I can just open up my mouth, find out what God's word says. Because this is in my mouth. So now my healing, where's that at? It's in the word, yeah. But it's in my mouth. Okay, well, how about protection? Well, before we go to protection, Proverbs 12:18 says this, there is that speaks like piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 13:3 says this, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. So where's my protection? In my mouth, right? In my words. This guy was coming in, he was in the Air Force, and he's coming into the aircraft carrier, and he ain't going to make it. He's run out of fuel, something's happened to his plane, and he's been flying long enough to know this plane's going to fly right into the front of that aircraft carrier. And he didn't start cussing or start getting scared or anything like that. He just took his hands off and said, Jesus, she's all yours. And the plane made it far enough and landed the plane. I guess he put his hands back on once it landed. Well, you see, where's your protection at? Well, you know, no, sometimes tragedy just happens. Not to us. What did the psalmist say? Now, don't look. Let's not talk about what happened to somebody you know. Let's talk about what the word says. Okay? And the word says this in Psalm 91. The psalmist, motivated and led by the Spirit of God, wrote this. No evil shall befall me. Now, how much is no evil? None, right? Neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. And this is where I get excited. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, and if it's the Lord's will, and as long as I'm not like Job, it won't come near me. No, he said, it will not. See his assurance here? It will not come near me. Where's your protection at? In your mouth. Don't walk around saying things like this. Well, you never know what's going to happen. No. I'm protected. Proverbs told me I don't have to fear sudden destruction. Well, what if the whole plane goes down? I don't know. Your seat's going to have to grow wings and land, Jack, if you're confessing the word. I don't care what. That's not my business. My business and your business is to stay in faith. God will figure out how to keep you safe. Right? Praise the Lord. Okay. This is, I'm telling you, this will help you. Your protection's in your mouth. I'm not going to read all these, but Proverbs 12:6 says, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. How many people you think have died before the age of 40 saying this, I'll never live past 40. I'll never see 40. How many times do you think that's killed somebody? See, that makes a difference. What should you ought to be, what should we be saying? My youth is renewed like the eagles. And I'm as strong today as I was 20 years ago. Right? And I'm going to live, have a life full of days, fully satisfied, and I am not leaving until me and Jesus are good and ready for me to go. And then and only then will I release my spirit out of my body and go to be with the Lord. People, and I, look, if you're thinking this, I'm not making fun of you here. This is just, once you get revelation, this, it starts to think funny because people start saying things like this. Well, if you're not sick, how are you going to die? Well, just leave. You don't have to be sick to leave. Just leave your body and you'll go. I mean, there's plenty of ways to die. You don't have to be concerned about that. Are you understanding this? Your protection now is in your mouth. Let's keep going. Did I read you Proverbs 18:7? A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken with the words of your mouth. How about your prosperity? Proverbs 12:14 says this, a man shall be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth. Satisfied means filled to the full, overflowing, to have a surplus or an oversupply. How many people are still living in lack because they keep saying things like, I can't afford. I can't afford. I can't, well, I'm just a working man. Just paycheck to paycheck working man. Nothing wrong with working, but be a rich working man. Be a working man that has abundance. Then come into the church and say, Pastor, I'm going to pay for your new office here. I'm going to add this on to the church. You don't need to take any offerings. I got it. No amens to that one? Okay. Are you seeing that? I mean, be a person when somebody, when your neighbor's hurting, you don't just relieve pressure, you erase the problem. Right? Yeah, I mean, if you need $20,000, do you want $5,000 or $20,000? Well, be the person that's giving them the $20,000. And see, our prosperity's in our mouth. And we shouldn't be saying things like, well, we're poor, but we're proud. You're wrong twice. Now, I'm not going to preach my message on Thursday night, but I'm going to tell you this. The scripture says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. So my confession is this. I'm humble and rich. Now see, the church world tells you, you can't do, no, you can't be rich and humble. But God told me if I do humble myself, go do this tomorrow. Write this down and go do this. Go find out, I don't even know where the scripture's at, but find out what happened to Hezekiah when he humbled himself. That's your assignment. In your free time, if you remember that, just go find out what happened to Hezekiah when he humbled himself. Now, let's keep going. I'll give you a hint. It was good. Now, are you with me? See why your words are so important? See why after you pray, you can't say you believe you receive and then talk the problem every day. No, because your words, your life is going in the direction of your words. Right? That's why we need to talk the answer, talk the word. Okay, well, in the time we got left tonight, oh my goodness, which isn't much, but let's get it. Let's go to Romans 15:13. Let's. Have you gotten something so far? Okay. Romans 15:13. Let's finish this up here. Now, and we'll pick it up here next time I get to minister, but so faith talks like it's done. And then number four, faith carries the attitude like it's finished. Faith carries the attitude like it's finished. Romans 15:13 says this: "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." May fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Do you see where the joy and the peace are? In believing. So this is where we're going next. Faith, after it's prayed and believed it's received, it operates in joy and in peace. So now, if the joy and the peace are in believing, so where would I find the depression and the stress and the worry? In unbelief. So if I'm in, you can't be in faith and be discouraged. You can't be in faith and be worried, because in faith there's joy and there's peace. That word peace means a tranquil state of a soul assured. Did you hear me? So you're tranquil because you're sure that you will have, right? And then that word joy means to be glad or rejoice exceedingly. So people who are in faith have an assured soul, and they rejoice exceedingly. Now, why are you rejoicing exceedingly? And why is your soul assured? Because you believe you've received, right? I mean, if something you're believing God for showed up tonight, would you rejoice exceedingly? Well, we've already talked a little bit about this. I don't wait then. I just start rejoicing exceedingly right now, like it's here. See, and we talked a little about this, but why are you worried? Why are you discouraged if you believe that you have it and you believe that it will manifest? If I know the end, I'm not nervous about the path to get to the end, right? See, when you're in faith, you're very peaceful. You're quiet, unless you're exceedingly rejoicing. But it's a calm life. I always get the picture of an old Western Clint Eastwood surrounded by 20 guys, and he ain't even worried. And the reason he's not is because he knows the end. Do you understand that? I mean, but what happens to believers a lot, we get in pressure, and I mean, we're basket cases. I mean, we got, you know, look like we stuck our finger in a light socket. Hair sticking up, you know, face is messed up, crying. You know, I mean, we look like we've been through the ringer. But what I'm telling you is, when you're in faith, you got peace and you got joy. Faith. Why? Because I believed I received, and I know the end. Does that make sense to you? Now, just one more here. So we got to line our attitude up with what we say we believe. Did you hear me? Line your attitude up with what you say you believe. When you're really in faith and all hell breaks loose, you'll have joy and peace. So see, we got to, and we'll talk about this next week, but your attitude is saying something. And we're going to talk about the confession of your attitude next week. But your attitude is revealing and releasing what you believe. And if you're discouraged or worried, you're revealing that you don't believe and you're releasing unbelief. But if you'll stay in peace and in joy, you're revealing that I believe God. And see, we're always wanting to know, because people are always saying faith without works is dead. So then we come up with ideas, well, let's throw our glasses off when we still can't see. Let's send somebody a check with no money in the account. Well, that's not faith. That's dumb. Forgive me for being forward. That's not smart. But so we need to understand, one of the greatest acts that our faith has is the action of our attitude. Did you hear me? So that when pressure comes on you, one of the greatest acts of faith you can do when all hell is breaking loose is just be cool. Just, and when I say cool, I'm just saying calm. Right? Just collected. You know, you can say a lot sometimes by saying nothing. Did you hear me? You can say a lot by just saying a little. And sometimes the best thing to say is a little or nothing. And just be calm. Okay, are you with me? Remember when they came to Jesus, and we're going to talk about this next week. Remember when they came to Jesus and they put pressure on him? They were saying, they brought that lady, that adulterous woman before him, and said, the law says, Moses says this, what do you say? And what they were trying to catch Jesus up, weren't they? And what did he do after they got done talking? He bent down and started drawing in the dirt. Now, somebody said he was doing something spiritual down there. Well, that's not what the Bible says. He might have just been drawing a smiley face or something. You don't know. Don't put something in there that's not in there. Now, he might have been doing something spiritual, but you don't know what he was doing. I don't know what I just know he was drawing in the dirt. Then he got up and said one thing and kneeled back down and was drawing in the dirt. And this is just the way that I've heard it and the way I've learned it. We got to learn to get the spirit of doodle. That when all hell's breaking loose and somebody's putting pressure on you, just doodle. Twiddle your thumbs. Spirit of doodle. And the best thing I can do, you ever heard the Andy Griffith? Let me help you here. And I'm just going to do this when I'm closing here. We got to just, when all pressure's breaking loose and all hell's breaking loose, I mean, just chill out. Just relax. I mean, before you run to 50 people and pray, you know, telling everybody your problem, why don't you ask the Lord what he'd have you to do first? Right? I mean, fear spreads like a wildfire. You go to the wrong person, they just get worried with you. But, yeah, you're in bad shape. I don't know what you're going to do. Well, anyway, you came to them, but you were messing around yourself. But look, I mean, the spirit of doodle. You just need to whistle a little bit of this right here whenever you get a pressure on you. Just, do you hear it? I mean, just chill out. Just put on the Andy Griffith and just say, I'm not worried about this. I'm not moved by this. And just let, I'm just giving you a picture. And every time, you're just going to start whistling that every time pressure shows up. And say, and hey, if you're in faith, you're going to be okay. I know it might not look good right now, but hey, you're a faith person, right? Then put a smile on your face. Jesus said he set his face like flint, right? Well, set your face like flint, but don't do it with a mean look. Do it with a big smile on your face and your automatic smile all the time. And we just need to, if you're in faith, you're very calm. I mean, when the Lord showed me that today, I said, man, I'm going to be playing that a lot when pressure shows up. But because it's just no care, no worry. I mean, just you're going to be fine. You know, the end of it, you will have. So don't freak out. I mean, one of the biggest things you can do to the kingdom of darkness is when they throw one of their most powerful attempts at you, and it looks like it has no effect. I mean, how discouraging and disheartening when they've been working something up for weeks and weeks, and your response is, did you get something out of that? Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Faith people are people of peace and joy. And if you're in faith, when the pressure's on you, peace and joy is going to come out. Right? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for helping us to live by faith, Lord, and apply these things and be doers of these things that you're teaching us. We know as we do, we're going to see greater levels of victory than we ever have before. We thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed tonight. Tell somebody God loves you and I love you. Remember, God is love and Jesus is Lord.